the Holy Spirit. Now, I know there's probably a few new faces with us tonight, but we've spent the last 6 weeks really laying a foundation on the Holy Spirit. And it's necessary for us to lay that foundation. And we talked about who the Holy Spirit is. We talked about the Holy Spirit's ministry right from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it says that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And right in the very beginning, the Spirit of God was here. If you go to the book of Revelation chapter 22, it says the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And right at the very end, the Spirit of God is there. The Spirit of God has always been here. And then we talked about how the Holy Spirit was a part of creation. We talked about how the Holy Spirit dealt with people, if you like, in the Old Testament, came on them at a particular time for a particular purpose to fulfill something. And we read of times in the Old Testament where the Spirit of God came on Samson, and Samson slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. Seen many a preacher do the same thing. Somebody didn't get that. Billy got that. That's a preacher joke, is it, Billy? And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on people. And then in the time of Jesus, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be in you. And so in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit came on the inside of people. And then there was a third experience of the Holy Spirit where the Holy Spirit baptized people. And we talked about last week, and I showed you a demonstration last week of the three different things of how the Holy Spirit came on, how the Holy Spirit came in, and how we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit was to empower us to do something for Jesus, to do something for the kingdom. And you know, when we go back and when we look at the Great Commission, the commission that was given to us in Matthew chapter 28 and also in Mark chapter 16, Jesus gave us the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know, the reality of that is an enormous task. And that is not a task that we could fulfill all on our own. And so in order for us to do that, Jesus Christ gave us the Holy Spirit who would be in us, who would be our comforter, our guide, our teacher, but also the one who empowers us for works of service. And so we took that up last week and we talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit empowers us for service. But for the next number of weeks, what we want to talk about is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you know, when we come to talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, these are gifts that are given supernaturally by the Holy Spirit to the church to empower us to do the things that God has called us to do. And you know, the gifts of the Spirit is probably one of the things in the whole New Testament, or in the modern church, should we say, in the modern church, where people have no understanding of the gifts of the Spirit, no understanding of the Spirit. And I asked you here a few weeks ago, you know, how many people were looking for more of God? And most people put their hand up. They said they're looking for more of God. And then we asked, what does that look like? If you're looking for more of God, what does that look like? Are you looking for more of the Father? Well, you can't get any more of the Father because he's in heaven seated on the throne. Well, you're looking for more of Jesus. Well, you can't get any more of Jesus either because he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But you know, Jesus talked about in John chapter 14, he said, it is expedient for you that I go away. And if I go away, the Comforter will come. Or basically what Jesus said, it is far better for you that I go back to heaven, because when I go back to heaven, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And Jesus Christ was limited by time and by space. He was limited to wherever he could walk, in a sense. He was limited to the people that he could minister to. But he says when the Holy Spirit comes, that he will be on the inside of us, that he would baptize us in his Holy Spirit, that he would fill us, that he would empower us, and that we would have that relationship with him. And so Jesus said, it's far better for you that I'm in heaven and the Holy Spirit is here. But you know what's interesting about that is people don't understand the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the member of the Godhead who's on the earth right now. He's in the church right now, but he's in the believer, and we have no clue, we have no concept. We don't know how to relate to the Holy Spirit. We don't know how to flow in the Holy Spirit. But you know what? The Scripture says that we're supposed to desire the Holy Spirit. And it's only when we begin to desire the Holy Spirit that these things become open to us, that we begin to get an understanding of what the Holy Spirit is all about, and how to flow with him, and how to minister with him. And so, let's look in our Bible first this morning, or this evening, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. going to ask a question just for a moment, and I'm going to ask Pastor Stephen and Pastor Billy not to answer this one. How many gifts of the Holy Spirit are there? Any advance on seven? Lots, definitely lots. Many gifts of the Holy Spirit are there? And you know, my next question was going to be name them, but if you don't even know how many they are, it'd be foolish for me to ask you to name them. There's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you see, the fact that we don't even know how many there are, how can we even be believing God for the gifts of the Spirit? Look with me here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look with me in verse 31. It says here, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. He says, covet earnestly. Covet earnestly. And you know, when we think of that word covet, in our minds, it conjures up something negative. You know, because the scripture says, do not covet thy neighbor's wife, or do not covet thy neighbor's goods. And so it conjures up that negative image in us. But the word covet means to have a strong desire for something, to be zealous for something. And the scripture here tells us that we are supposed to be zealous for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But there's no point in asking if we're zealous for the gifts of the Spirit. We don't even know how many they are or what they are. And so the question really is, are we zealous for the gifts of the Spirit? Are we coveting the gifts of the Spirit? Because that's what the Apostle Paul said. He says we're supposed to be zealous for them. And you know, one of the reasons why we're doing this is because really what I want to do, and myself included, and I've always said this here, whenever I point one finger that way, there's four fingers pointing back. But what we want to do is create a hunger for the things of the Spirit. Because if there's no hunger for the things of the Spirit, we won't earnestly desire them. And we're going to look at these over the next number of weeks. And I hope that over the next number of weeks that we're going to get an earnest desire for the things of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about some of these gifts. And I hope when we talk about the word of knowledge, we're all going to be going, yes, I want that one. And then we'll talk about the word of wisdom. I want that one. And when we go through each of them, we say, that's the one I want. But you know what will happen is it'll create in us an earnest desire for the things of the Spirit. But he says here, earnestly covet the best gifts. And so we're supposed to be coveting, we're supposed to be desiring, we're supposed to be zealous for the gifts of the Spirit. And you know, the reality of it is, it's a sad indictment on the modern church that we've so forgotten the Holy Spirit, that we don't even know who the Holy Spirit is or what he's about. We don't understand that he came to be our teacher, to be our guide, and to empower us for works of service. But you know, that's all the more reason why we just need to teach on it. We don't need to get condemned or anything else. We just teach on it, and then we'll go from here, and we'll begin to desire the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Look back with me then, just in the beginning of this chapter, in chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Isn't that an interesting statement here? He says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, he was talking to these guys here, and he's saying, I know you're ignorant. I know you choose to be ignorant. He says, but I don't want you to be ignorant, so I'm going to teach you about it. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant in the things of the Spirit. He says, because we're supposed to know what they are. We're supposed to know what the gifts are. We're supposed to flow in the gifts. And the gifts are supposed to be flowing in the church. And we're going to talk about, over the next number of weeks, we'll talk about them, and we'll talk about them in balance. Because one of the things that happens too in the church, and I have to say this at the outset, because maybe some of you will miss some of the sessions, but there's always a balance to the gifts. And you know, people get up sometimes and they prophesy willy-nilly in church and they do all different kinds of things. But you know, the scripture says that when somebody prophesies, it says two or three are supposed to judge the prophecy. And that needs to be being done in the church. Because far too many people are getting away with too many things. And so prophecy is supposed to be judged. Let me say this to you too. We need to grow in the things of the Spirit. And I know sometimes people, they feel they have a gift of prophecy, or they feel they have a gift of the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. And you know, when I look back and I see Peter, how many of you remember Peter, that great apostle? But you know, when Peter walked with Jesus, do you remember in Matthew chapter 16, Peter had a remarkable revelation from God. Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to Peter, "You didn't get that from flesh. You got that directly from heaven." And then just a few verses after, Jesus said, "I must go to Jerusalem and be crucified. And far be it from you, Lord. You will never die." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And you see, what happened was, one minute he was listening to the voice of God, the next minute he was listening to the voice of the enemy. And you see, that can happen too. And that's the reason why we need to judge prophecy. Because people who are open to the things of the Spirit, sometimes they hear things, but you need to discern which voice you're hearing. And you need to understand that I can hear the voice of God, but I can also hear the voice of the enemy, and it's to discern between them. Do you understand? And that's the reason why we have to do these things. That's the reason why we have to go through this in this fashion. Because I know there's people, and sometimes people come to me and say, "I've got a word from God," and they tell you, and you go, "You didn't get that from God." Do you know what I mean? But we need to have the discernment to know when something comes from God or when it comes from the flesh, or worse than that, it comes from the enemy. And you know what happens sometimes is you might find yourself in a situation where there's somebody and they may be hurting. And you go and you speak a word to them, but you're speaking a word to them because you have compassion in your heart, but it didn't come from God. You understand? And so we need to understand these things, and we need to discern the right and the wrong way to give a word of prophecy or a word of knowledge. So he says here, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And so what he's going to do for the next couple of chapters, or three chapters actually, is he's going to begin to teach on the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to look at that. We said that Jesus left his followers the responsibility of reaching the world with the gospel. And you know what's interesting about this? And this is something that we're going to have to look at in our generation. Is there are so many people out there, or churches out there, or religions out there, or sects out there, whatever you want to call them. There's so many people out there trying to promote their God. How do you see which God is the true God? How do you know which God is the true God? And when I think about this, I always think back to something that Elijah said. The God who answers by fire, he is God. In other words, the God who gives a demonstration, that's who God is. Do you understand? And you see, what happens is there's so many religions out there, and they're all peddling their religion. They're all peddling their doctrine. But it's the God who answers prayer. When you lay hands on the sick and they recover. When you have a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge for somebody, that's how you know God. Because the sects can't do that. The false religions can't do that. But you know, we do that by a gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and he speaks to us and he'll give us the word. I'll give you just a real primary example. Years ago, there was a couple, there was a Bible school up in Ballymena, and there was some people that came over, I believe they were from Holland, and they started this Bible school in Ballymena. And they came to Dundalk one time, a couple of them, and they asked me if I'd bring them on the streets to do outreach. So we were out on the street one day, and we were giving out tracts and different things, and I was walking up and down with this, it was a married couple, man and woman. And this woman was very, very prophetic. And as we were walking, she pulled out this tract, and she went to hand it to this guy, this particular guy. And as soon as she went to hand him the tract, the guy went ballistic. He started jumping, he started screaming, he was waving his hands at her. And she was just there quiet, and then she said, "The Spirit of God told me," she says, "that you're a Christian, and that you haven't been walking with God for 20 years. And she says, your heart has become bitter and calloused. And she says, God is speaking to you today because he wants you to come back." And next minute, the guy started crying in floods of tears on the street. He said, "That is right." He says, "I walked away from God 20 years ago. I haven't walked with God for 20 years. And just spoke right into his situation, and the guy came back to God crying. And that's the way the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom works. Do you understand? That's the way it works, how you just speak into a situation. But you know what? She couldn't possibly have known that. She was from Holland. We're actually on the streets in Drogheda, and she had just got there for the day and just spoke that word to the guy and just really impacted him. But you know what? The cults can't do that. The false religions can't do that. because that's a special gift that's given by the Holy Spirit for a particular purpose. And so we'll talk about some of these things. And you know, as we go through these and as we talk about some of these gifts, some of you maybe might even think, hey, I can do that. I get a word of wisdom. I get a word of knowledge. Or you begin to identify some of these things and think, that's my gift. That's what I can do, or you understand, or the Holy Spirit does through me. So just watch for that. Jesus then said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And so Jesus said that you're going to receive power. And that word power is the word dunamis, and it's the explosive ability of God. It's the explosive ability of God. That's the ability of God to meet every challenge or everything that the enemy throws up or everything that we're going to meet as we go out and begin to preach the gospel. And Jesus said it will be available to us. The subject of spiritual gifts was one that Paul felt it was necessary to teach the early church. And we read that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Well, let me just break it down for a moment. What are spiritual gifts? What are they? And what they are the word spiritual actually means characterized or controlled by the Holy Spirit. These are not natural gifts. These are spiritual gifts. They're characterized or controlled by the Holy Spirit. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability that's given by the Holy Spirit to a believer to minister on behalf of the body of Christ, or to minister to the body of Christ. A supernatural or a spiritual ability that's given to a person to minister on behalf of or to minister to the body of Christ. And you see, we have got to be very careful when we talk about spiritual gifts, that we understand these gifts are spiritual, they're not natural. So let me ask you a question. What's the difference between a spiritual gift and a natural gift? And you know, as I said, here we are, we're in the what we call the late church. And we're not talking about that we arrived too late, but just in terms of time where we're at. And in the modern church today, you don't see so much of the movement of the Spirit. And what's actually happened is people have tried to take the supernatural out of the church, take the supernatural out of the life or the walk of the believer, and what they've tried to do instead is put in natural gifts. And I'm going to talk about the difference between a natural gift and a spiritual gift. But let me just say this. People today, what they try and do is they try and judge everything by their own experience and by their own understanding. Now let me just share this with you. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit first, I had a powerful encounter with God. I mean, it was such a powerful encounter with God, you just couldn't deny it, right? And so I went to my minister at the time, and I said to him, I've just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, no, you didn't. I said, I did. He said, no, you didn't. I said, I did. I just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He says, you didn't. And I said, why would you say that I didn't? He says, because I asked for the Holy Spirit, and I didn't get it, so therefore there's no such thing. But you see, what he was going to do is he was going to base the whole of the move of God, the whole of the word of God, everything that Jesus preached and everything that Paul preached, he was basing it all on his experience. Do you understand? And that's the danger that we come to. If we don't understand something spiritual, we try to naturalize it or we try to explain it away. And you see, we can't do that. And we have to understand that the very first thing about a spiritual gift is it's spiritual, which means it's not natural. Example. People have this mentality. Let's just say you know somebody who's very wise. And people will say something like, well, you know, God has given me the gift of wisdom. Well, there's no such thing as a gift of wisdom. It's actually called a word of wisdom. And you see, what happens with people is somebody is wise, so they say, God has given me the gift of wisdom, but what they're really saying is, it's not spiritual, it's natural, just because I'm wise. Do you understand? And so people try and take the spiritual out of it and make it into a natural gift. So a spiritual gift is a supernatural ability which did not come by inheritance. It didn't come by training. It didn't come by learning something. It is a gift that's given by the Spirit of God. There's a difference then between gifts and talents. You see, a lot of people have natural talents and abilities. But natural talents and abilities are just that, natural. They're not spiritual. Now, God can take our natural talent and ability and he can use it. But what happens is there comes a particular time in our life where we have to minister to somebody and God gives us a spiritual gift, a supernatural ability. Not a natural ability, a supernatural ability to carry out something. Spiritual gifts provide natural abilities far greater than any natural talent. Supernatural gifts provide spiritual abilities far greater than any natural talent. And we have to understand that. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm trying to take this slow because I just want us to grasp this tonight, this concept. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He said, "I can't speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal." Now, the word carnal, it's the word sarkikos. It comes from the word sarks, and it just means fleshy. Just means fleshy. And he says, "I can't speak to you like spiritual." He says, "I only have to speak to you as if you're fleshly or of the flesh, the desires of the flesh or desires of the natural things." And he says that he's making a point here that there's a difference between spiritual and being fleshy. And you see, what happens so often is we try and bring everything down to our own base understanding, whereas we need to understand that there are supernatural abilities that are given by God that we can't comprehend with our flesh. We just have to accept them that they are from God. Do you understand? Let me give you an example of that. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This maybe might help you to understand that a wee bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look with me in verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshy, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." See, he says here we're walking in the flesh, but he says we don't war after the flesh. He says that our weapons that God has given us are not fleshy weapons. They're actually spiritual weapons. Here's the deal. If we are fighting a spiritual enemy, if we're fighting a spiritual enemy, we can't fight him in the flesh. We have to fight him in the spirit. And in order to fight him in the spirit, God gives us spiritual gifts or spiritual weapons. Do you understand? So they're not; these are not flesh weapons. They're not carnal weapons. They're spiritual weapons, spiritual gifts and spiritual abilities. Look with me back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at these spiritual gifts and we'll talk about them for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read here from verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now, I just need to stop there for a minute, because he makes this statement here. He says, "No man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost." That this is just a misunderstood scripture. Because, you know, people have this mentality, anyone who says Jesus is Lord, they must be doing that by the Holy Spirit. But you know what? You can go out on the street and you can find somebody who's drunk, just out of his head, and say to him, "Can you say Jesus is Lord?" Say, "Yeah, Jesus is Lord." Said, "Tell you what I'll do, I'll give you £100 if you say that with meaning." Do you know what? They will. So are you saying then that he's saying that by the Spirit of God? No, he's not. What's the context that we're talking about here? the context is we're talking about spiritual gifts. And he's talking about that how you identify whether somebody is truly operating in the Spirit or not is by how they respond to Jesus, or how they identify Jesus, or how they speak about Jesus. And so if you find somebody who says something negative about Jesus, that is not from the Spirit of God. If you say somebody who by the Spirit is speaking in line with the Word of God and saying that Jesus is Lord and that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church and that he has come in the flesh and so on, that's of God. And we're talking here about spiritual gifts. Because it has happened before. It has happened that people who have stood up supposedly by the Spirit and have said negative things against God, against the Word of God and against Jesus, but you can identify that straight away and go, that is not God. Because the Spirit of God does not do that. The Spirit of God will not attack Jesus. And so when we come and we see people who are operating in the Spirit, we can tell. But look down here then in verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, or different gifts. There's many gifts basically, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities or many operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Now I want you to notice there, verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. And the word man there, he's not talking about man in the male sense. He's talking about mankind. And he says here that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. He's talking here about born-again believers, people who are spiritual. And he says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't fall under that category? Come on, anybody. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't fall under that category who's not one of the every man? Well, do you know what that means? That means that you have a spiritual gift. That means you have a spiritual gift. And if you have a spiritual gift, guess whose responsibility it is to walk in that gift? It's our own. My responsibility to walk in my gift, it's your responsibility to walk in your gift, but the Spirit of God says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. That means if you're born again, if you're Spirit-filled, you have a gift of the Spirit. And it's up to you to find out what it is, and it's up to you to walk in it. But it's given to every single one of us. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Notice it's not wisdom, it says a word of wisdom. So it's not talking about people who are wise. You know, you meet people sometime and you think that fella has great wisdom. That's a natural ability, that's not a spiritual ability. The scripture here says a word of wisdom. And a word of wisdom is a supernatural word that you get from God that speaks into a situation about something you couldn't know possibly anything about. Not talking about somebody who's just wise. He's talking about a word of wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 again. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith. Now when he's talking about faith here, he's talking about a gift of faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we all got faith when we were born again. But this is a supernatural gift by the Holy Spirit called the gift of faith for a particular reason, for a particular purpose. You walk into a room where, me and Charlie were talking about this today, but you walk into a room where somebody is dead, but if God gives you a supernatural ability, a supernatural gift of faith, you can raise them from the dead. If God doesn't give you that supernatural gift of faith, not going to raise anyone from the dead. Do you understand? But it has to be a supernatural gift, a supernatural ability of faith that God imparts into your spirit for a particular purpose. That's not talking about regular, everyday faith. He's talking about a supernatural gift of faith in a particular purpose where you need it. Right? Verse 9 again. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And again, this is a supernatural gift of healing. We can all pray for the sick. But there are people then who have a supernatural gift of healing who can walk into a situation and lay hands on somebody and they're healed instantly. That's a supernatural gift. That's not the regular healing where any one of us can lay hands on the sick and pray for them. Do you understand? This is a supernatural gift of God. verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. There's nine of them. Let me just list them for you. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of prophecy, the gift of faith, the gift of healings, the working of miracles, the discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And some people try to make these carnal or fleshly, as we said, but they're not, they're spiritual. As I said, some people think, you know, somebody is wise, so God has given them the gift of wisdom. There's no such thing as the gift of wisdom. It's a word of wisdom. Some people think, you know, have you ever met somebody and they have got great discernment? And they think, God has given me the gift of discernment. There's no such thing as a gift of discernment. What the Bible says is discerning of spirits, which is a completely different thing. You see, we can all have discernment in a particular situation. You can walk into a place and you meet somebody for the first time and you just get a check in your spirit and you think, something off there. But it's a natural ability. People have it. People who are not saved have it. But the gift of discernment that he's talking about here is the discerning of spirits. Some people are very good at learning, at knowledge. Have you ever seen somebody who's a professional student? And they're all the time learning, just learning, learning, learning all the time. And people think, well, you know what that is? That's a gift of knowledge. No, he didn't say anything about a gift of knowledge. He said a word of knowledge. See, this is not a natural gift. This is a supernatural gift. This is a spiritual gift. And so what happens in the modern church is people are trying to bring them over into the flesh. We need to realize these are not flesh gifts. These are not natural abilities. We're talking about supernatural abilities. You have somebody maybe who's good at languages. I know people and they can speak six or eight languages. He's got the gift of tongues. No, that's not the gift of tongues. Because that's a natural ability. The gift of tongues is an utterance that's given by the Holy Spirit. It's not a natural gift, it's a supernatural gift. Do you understand? People try to make it fleshly or fleshy, and it's not fleshy, it's spiritual. It's not something you learned or trained for, it's a spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of churches, and they're opposed to the things of the Spirit. They're opposed to the things of the Spirit. And, it boggles my mind how people can be opposed to the Spirit when Jesus said that he was going back to heaven and he was going to send us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. How can you be against the Holy Spirit when you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? It doesn't make any sense. But there are whole churches that dedicate their whole time to being opposed to the Spirit. And being opposed to the gifts of the Spirit. And they try and make these things carnal or fleshly. And then there's other people then. And you know, you push the pendulum so far one way and they're anti-spirit. And then you get people and they push the pendulum all the way over the other side. And they say all those things have passed away. And you think to yourself, you know, if something as important as all these things that passed away, you think God would have put it in the book for us? Oh, and by the way, guys, there's no more spiritual gifts today. And the one people pick on the most, for some reason, is speaking in tongues. You see, people don't have a lot of problems with healings and different things like that, but you mention tongues and people are up in arms. Oh, I can't do that. That's passed away. Well, not with me, it hasn't. Not with me. I've been speaking in tongues for the last 20 years. And you ask people. People say to you, oh, speaking in tongues has passed away. Do you speak in tongues? No. Well, if you don't speak in tongues, how are you going to teach me about speaking in tongues? Instead of you trying to teach me, you should be asking me questions. How do I do that? Instead of trying to tell me. Do you understand? And people have this mentality and they say things like, oh, well, you know, speaking in tongues passed away. And they haven't passed away. And we'll take up that passage in the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 a bit later where people try and take that from. How many people here speak in tongues? Just roughly. Many people here speak in tongues. Right. Do you know that people who don't speak in tongues generally say speaking in tongues has passed away? But let's ask all the people who do speak in tongues. Right, put your hands up again. Has speaking in tongues passed away? No. See, the people who speak in tongues never tell you that speaking in tongues has passed away, do they? Only the people who don't speak in them. And if they don't speak in them, how are you going to come and tell me how to speak in tongues or how not to speak in tongues? Do you understand? Speaking in tongues hasn't passed away. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me show you this. Just the verse here. We're going back to chapter 12 again in a moment. Look at chapter 14. Look down with me in verse 39. He says, "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues." Let's say that in your Bible. Forbid not to speak in tongues. What does that mean? Put that into the modern vernacular. What does that mean? Don't stop people from speaking in tongues. Does that mean it's passed away? No. He says, don't stop people speaking in tongues. In other words, keep it up. Keep speaking in tongues, because it's a gift that's given by the Holy Spirit, a supernatural ability that's given to us by the Holy Spirit, and it's for us. Let's talk for a minute about the purpose of the gifts. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read here from verse 11. And these are talking about gifts, but these gifts are in the form of people that God has given to the church. It says, "He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." And as we read this, according to this passage here, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, firstly, is to perfect the saints. And the word perfect there is the word mature. Is that the saints become mature. And we as believers are meant to become mature. What Paul said a little earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, "I couldn't speak to you as spiritual. I have to speak unto you as carnal." He says, "like babes in Christ." And he said, "I don't want you to be babes in Christ. I want you to grow up. I want you to be mature." And so the Spirit of God is given to us so that we can become mature in the things of God. And so turn to your neighbor and tell him, "Grow up." We all need a touch of that every now and again, don't we? Don't laugh too hard. So to perfect the saints, or mature the saints, the next thing is to promote the work of the ministry. And you know, it says firstly here to mature the saints, or to perfect the saints. And so when you're perfected, it says here then the next one is to promote the work of the ministry. Not to tear down the work of the ministry. To promote it, to build it up. And you know, there's so many people and they try to tear down the work of the ministry, but when they do that, they just show themselves to be immature. Because when you're mature, what you will do is you will promote the ministry. You will get behind the ministry. You will support the ministry. You will support the leaders that God has put in place. And then the third thing it says here is to edify Christ and the church. And to edify means to build up. And the purpose of the Spirit is that we would all be built up. God wants us all built up. He wants us to minister to each other. He wants us to build each other up. He wants us to to speak good things to each other, to encourage each other, to speak the word to each other, not to be tearing each other down. And so that's the purpose of the Spirit. The goals of the spiritual gift then is, he talks about here that we would become united in the faith. Become united in the faith. Become united in the faith. You know what's interesting about that is you don't have to agree with everybody, but we can still be united in the faith. You don't have to agree with everybody. I guarantee you, if we had everybody here, if we asked a particular question, I guarantee you we'd get 20 or 30 different answers. But you know what? That doesn't mean that we can't agree in the faith. You understand? We need to be agreeable. We need to become united in the faith. We need to develop our knowledge of Christ and the things of God. That's one of the purposes of the Spirit, is that we would develop in our knowledge of Christ and of what God has called us to be. That's the reason why we have Bible studies. That's the reason why God put teachers in the church. It's so that we develop our knowledge of Christ. Develop in perfection with Christ as our model. Become stable, not deceived by false doctrines. I know the scripture here talks about that we can be tossed to and fro with false doctrines. We're not supposed to be tossed to and fro with false doctrines. We're supposed to mature. We're supposed to grow up in our knowledge of Christ. We should be able to spot a false doctrine a mile away. And that's what he wants. That's what the Spirit of God wants for us. He wants us to grow up in the things of God. Verse 15, he says, speaking the truth in love. This is one that's really difficult. Speaking the truth in love. You know, there's some of us and we're great at speaking the truth, but the question is it in love? Because we can say things sometimes and they're true, but there's no love in it. But we have to speak the truth in love. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for a moment. Not too many more. Just another 142 scriptures. Well, it's a whole lot less than when we started. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I just want to talk about the Godhead in relation to the gifts just for a moment. The Godhead. Look with me in verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, or different gifts really, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, or different operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Did you pick up the Trinity in those three verses? It says in verse 4, it talks about the Spirit. In verse 5, it talks about the Lord. And in verse 6, it talks about God. You know what that means? It means that the whole Trinity is involved in imparting spiritual gifts to the church. There are gifts that are given by the Spirit, but it says that the operations are of the Lord and the administrations are given by God. And so the whole Trinity is involved in the spiritual gifts and in how we use them. The Spirit also, or the gifts of the Spirit are also given to the church as weapons of spiritual warfare to conquer the enemy, to overcome the enemy. And we know over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we'll not read it, but it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he talks here about this spiritual battle that we're engaged in, and he tells us to put on the weapons of our warfare. But if we're engaged in a spiritual battle, guess what kind of weapons we need? Spiritual weapons. Because you can't fight a spiritual war with natural weapons. The only way you can fight a spiritual war is with spiritual weapons. And that's what the gifts of the Spirit are given for. To enable us to be involved in this warfare that we're involved in. Anytime you go to battle without your weapons, you can't expect to win the fight. And that's the reason sometimes why we find ourselves being buffeted and to and fro sometimes, is because we don't understand the weapons that we're supposed to be fighting with. And we try and fight with the wrong weapons. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, I'll just read it to you. It says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same to one another. It says, every man has received the gift. He says, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And he uses a real interesting word here, is the word steward. The word steward. And you know, God has given us a stewardship. And God, what he does, and we'll talk about this as we go through this series, or this part of the series, that the scripture says that we are all the body of Christ. And each one of us is a member of the body of Christ. We're one of the members of that body. The scripture talks about, you know, if the foot should say to the hand, because you're not a foot, we have no need of you, does the hand then cease to be part of the body? No. Still part of the body. We need every part of the body. God has given every one of us a spiritual gift, and we all need each other. But what happens is every one of us has been given a spiritual gift, and every one of us is called to be a good steward of the gift that God has given us, and it will be required of us. One of the keys, if you understand, when Jesus told the story of the talents, and he said that to one that was given 10 talents, and he went and made 10 more. To another that was given 5 talents, and he went and made 5 more. And to one that was given 1 talent, and he said he took it and he buried it in the ground. And his master came back and he said, it is required of you that you give an account of what you did with your talent. And every one of us have been given a talent. We've been given a gift from God, a gift of the Holy Spirit. And we are called to be stewards of that gift that God has given us. That's the reason why we need to find out what our gifts are, and we need to learn how to walk in them. Because every believer has at least one spiritual gift, we have a responsibility to discover and to use our gift. There are many spiritual gifts, and we talked about them already. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit, and we'll break them down and we'll talk about them. But you know, nobody has been given all the gifts. Nobody has been given all the gifts. But you know what? Some of us could have 2 or 3 of the gifts, but none of us have been given all of the gifts. Let me show you that. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just 2 more scriptures here and we're finished. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look with me in verse 29. Actually, let's read from verse 28. It says, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now look back at the beginning of verse 28. It says, God has set some in the church. God has set some in the church. Guess who decides who's set in the church? God. It says God has set some in the church. And there's so many churches out there. And what they want is they want the congregation to vote. And we talked about this on Sunday when we talked about Obed-Edom. Where David, when he went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant, he didn't go and ask God. He went and asked the people. And you know, when he went and asked the people, somebody died. Somebody died. But you see, what we have in the modern church is everybody is looking for a voice. And when everybody looks for a voice, the one person who deserves the voice is left out, and that's God. And it says God set some in the church. Firstly, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. And goes on then and mentions what they are. And so it's God who decides who's set in the church. And the biggest mistake we make in the church sometimes is we try and get man involved. What do you think? And if you have 100 people, you know how many opinions you're going to get? Probably 150. Because you know what? Half the time we don't even agree with ourselves. Look with me here in verse 29. It says, are all apostles? And that's a rhetorical question, so the answer is no. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? When he talks about tongues here, he's talking about a supernatural gift. He's not talking about your prayer language. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. It says here, covet earnestly the best gifts. Does anybody know what the best gifts are? Anybody like to hazard a guess? Do you know what? Let me say this to you, because that was kind of a trick question. It was kind of a bit loaded. But you know what happens is we look for a particular gift, right? And we all want to identify our gift, and we all want to flow in our particular gift. But you know what the best gift is? The one that's needed at the moment. See, if you're discouraged and you're really down and you need a word from God, and somebody comes along and says, I have the gift of healing. Say, not much use to me. That wasn't what I was looking for. You know what the best gift is? The one that you need at the moment. That's the best gift, isn't it? And so we need to pray and believe God that God will give us the best gift, the one that's needed at just the right time. Because God is well able to flow through us. A person may have more than one gift, but no one has all the gifts. And the reason for that is because if we had all the gifts, we wouldn't need anybody else. We'd be totally self-sufficient. But you know, God didn't set it up that way. He says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The Bible says that there is one body and many parts, and each one of us is a part of it. We all need each other. The Bible says that every one of us, that we have our gifts and our talents, and that every part of the body supplies to the rest of the body. And so we need each other. And then he says here in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. And you know, over the next number of weeks, we're just going to take these gifts and we're going to go through them one at a time. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about how they work. And we're going to believe God that people are going to start to flow in each of these gifts. Because one of the things that we need in the modern church is we need people flowing in the Holy Spirit. We're not looking for something natural. We're looking for something supernatural. And I really believe there's a day coming, and I'm finished with this, but I really believe there's a day coming, and you can see it at the moment, where, you know, all these different cults and these different religions and all these different things are starting to rise up. And there's going to come a day again where we're going to have to stand and see a supernatural move of God. See a supernatural move of God. I'm waiting for the day where we're going to have to stand against the prophets of Baal again and call down fire from heaven. I'd love to be there for that one. But I think that day is going to come. Because we're going to stand against some of these religions. And some of these religions are really fast-growing religions. And some of them, they're not pleasant. And they're coming with an agenda. And the church is going to have to take a stand at some stage. And they're going to have to stand up and be counted. But when we take that stand, if we stand in our own strength, we'll be defeated. But if we stand in His strength, we will overcome every single time. And believe God for a supernatural outpouring of His Holy Spirit, a supernatural move, a word of wisdom or word of knowledge or whatever it is, a working of miracles. And that's what's going to win today. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you.